Welcome back to Module 4 as we continue this fantastic journey. Until now, we learned how important it is to simply become aware of why we act and respond the way we do. We then learned in the last module the powerful effect of finding the space between a stimulus and our response to it. We can find this space using the checking into reality exercise. And I hope that you've been practicing this exercise over the last week or so. And practicing this exercise repeatedly gets us into the habit of slowing down our response until we have more clarity, at which point we will usually choose a much healthier response. And today we're going to learn a few behaviors that we can improve on, which will further assist us in learning to live life beginning within. And through repeated healthy behavior, our emotions follow suit, and we begin to feel our inherent worthiness from within. So the behavior itself is actually going to help us connect with the inherent value that we all have, and we all in our deeper self know is true. The first thing we're going to be speaking about today is speaking truthfully. This is a powerful behavior we can adopt, and through adopting it, we actually connect much more deeply with our inherent worthiness, where we start getting it from within instead of getting it from the people and things and circumstances around us. So this one behavior will help us get our worthiness from within, and it's by practicing this art of speaking truthfully. Now, I want to be clear. I am specifically not saying speaking the truth, because it's not always wise to speak all of our truths. Simply because something is true isn't a reason for us to share it. Certain things should remain private, even if they are true. What we must do, though, is ensure that whenever we do speak, we are speaking truthfully. Speaking truthfully is the antidote to hiding. Hiding is basically lying, as we explained, and speaking truthfully is the act of showing up simply as who we are, without trying in any way to make ourselves look any different. Now, truth be told, this is a scary thing to do, being that we may still get our self-worth from the people and things outside of us. Look, we still get our self-worth to some extent, and maybe to a large extent, from things and people outside of us. And so we're terrified of speaking truthfully sometimes because we're scared we're going to fall out of favor, going back to our fundamental issue. We may still feel that we will lose acceptance from others if we speak the truth, and this may be true. Decent people value someone they can trust. There is no greater way to build trust than your ability to show up even when it reveals a flaw or a failure. When I started deliberately speaking truthfully without any form of exaggeration or minimization or hiding of any sort, it was like experiencing a miracle before my eyes. It left no room for a fight, accusation, or drama. No justifying or proving myself. I was just saying it the way it is. And it diffuses situations so unbelievably and gives me the opportunity to remain close with those who are dear to me. Now, I'm far from perfect at speaking truthfully, but I strive to get better and better as time goes on. I remember an incident when someone told me that I made a comment which really hurt their feelings. Now, I could have justified my comment. I could have defended why I made the comment or judge whether they should have gotten hurt by the comment. I didn't do either of those. I simply said, I didn't realize that my comment hurt you. Had I known, I would not have said it. I feel bad that through something I said, you got hurt, and I apologize. Please forgive me. No hiding, no covering up, no avoiding. I came right out and I took full responsibility. He walked away elated, and I walked away without any burden on my shoulder. Again, here the fact was that I said something, and the fact was that he felt hurt. And the fact is that I don't like her. I don't like when people feel hurt. And so I did what I could to take responsibility for the fact that I put something out there that led to that person being hurt, and it just diffused the entire situation. People often ask me how I am comfortable teaching classes when people can ask me so many questions and I may not know the answer. And my response is simple. Those are the easiest questions to answer, the ones I don't have an answer to. I simply say, I don't know. Not only does this not devalue me in the eyes of the students, it adds value to everything else I say. They know when I speak, I will only do so when I know what I'm talking about. And if I don't have an answer, they know they'll get the truth. I don't know. As we conduct ourselves more and more with the behaviors of one who gets their self-worth from within, we will begin to see a transformation within ourselves. When someone asks me how many years of experience I have with something, and I say 10 years when I only have 8 years of experience, or if I just left work, which is a half hour from my home, and I tell my wife I'll be home in 15 minutes, these are subtle lies. We spoke about this. Why do we do this? Because we always want to make things sound a little better than they are, or to make ourselves look a little better than we are. This is all a part of pandering to the world around us to buy their acceptance. We must get into the habit of speaking truthfully, even when it may not reflect well on us, to simply say things exactly the way they are without embellishing them or minimizing them in any way, shape, or form. When we begin to pay attention to how often we deliberately paint a picture, which is slightly different than the reality, it's shocking. We do it quite often. As you know yourself, people will embrace us more when we share truths which don't reflect so well on us than when we hide and they can't even get close to us. I will have a closer relationship with my spouse when I tell her I left the office at 6:30 p.m., even though I promised to leave at 6 p.m. I left a half hour later than I said I would. Then, she will feel much closer to me than if I tell my spouse, oh, I'm stuck in traffic, so I'm running a half hour late. Because my spouse knows that I don't hide and I always show up. She knows this by the fact that I will speak the truth even when it doesn't reflect well on me. That's far more valuable than someone who always has excuses. So how do we go about speaking truthfully? After we go through the checking into reality exercise in any given situation we have, then we have the opportunity to choose to speak truthfully. It's in that moment after we go through the exercise that we've come to seeing the event objectively that we can speak truthfully. In our example of the plate, once the husband gets in touch with reality that the plate is dirty, he simply chooses to say, thank you for pointing that out, I'll rewash it. An even more admirable way of speaking truthfully is if we've already responded defensively. Let's say we didn't go through the checking into reality exercise and we had our instinctive, reflexive, defensive reaction. After the event is over, we take some time, maybe 5 minutes later or maybe 2 days later, and we go through the checking into reality exercise with this event. And we get in touch with reality and say, oh my goodness, I cannot believe I responded that way. That was all out of my own defensiveness. By coming back to the person in the next few minutes or in the next few days and acknowledging that yesterday I was offended by a comment, and that comment I was offended by was entirely because of my own insecurity, and letting the other person know that my initial response truthfully had nothing to do with what they said, That is very powerful, and that is speaking truthfully in the most powerful way. By acknowledging that our behavior was because of our own issue, and not as we implied, because of them, this builds tremendous trust in the relationship. So even if the guy, the husband, had a fit when his wife said the plate is dirty, and then 3 hours later he processes what happened through the checking into reality exercise and realizes, my goodness, this all comes out of my own insecurity, that my wife is not valuing me. And then he goes back to his wife and tells his wife, you know something, I really want to apologize. My whole outburst had nothing to do with you, it had everything to do with me. It took me a while to realize that, and I really want to apologize. There is nothing that can build trust like such an admission. It demonstrates how truthful you are and how you don't hide and how responsible you can be. So this is one behavior, which is speaking truthfully. A second behavior, which is very powerful in connecting ourselves with our inherent worthiness, is responsibility. Going through the checking into reality exercise is one of the highest forms of responsibility. Responsibility is one of the most fundamental characteristics that belongs to a person who begins within. I first want to tell you what responsibility does not mean. Taking responsibility does not mean it's your fault. It does not mean saying that I am responsible in the sense that it is my fault. Very often other people will do things or say things which are entirely their fault. However, there is no use or benefit focusing on who is at fault. What we do receive a great benefit focusing on is asking ourselves a very responsible question, and that is, what can I do about the current situation? This is true for every single situation which we find ourselves in. Even when your spouse deliberately says something hurtful to you, taking responsibility means asking yourself, how can I add productively to the conversation? In the scenario of the dishwashing, the responsible approach is to ask myself why I am getting upset, and then going through the process of event, judgment, feeling, space, and reaction. Instead of focusing on what everyone else should have done or should be doing or the way you should be speaking to me, all of which are out of your control, you can do what responsible people do. You begin within. You take control in the one area of your life which you do control, and that is what you can do about the situation. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau is the former chief rabbi of Israel. And he related a part of a conversation he had in 1974. He was then a rabbi in a small synagogue outside of Tel Aviv in Israel. And he came to Brooklyn to visit the Lubavitcher Rebbe. In the middle of their conversation, the Rebbe asked him what Jews are saying these days in Israel. And he asked this question because it was right after the 1973 Yom Kippur War, when Israel had devastating losses in that war. And so the morale in Israel was very low. And Rabbi Lau replied that Jews are asking each other, Vos vet zayin, which means, that's Yiddish, which means what will be, what's going to be. That's what they're asking. The Rebbe grasped Rabbi Lau's arm and vehemently said, Yidden fregen nit vos vet zayin, ze fregen vos geht mintan. One should not ask what will be, they should ask what are we going to do. The Rebbe was emphasizing that asking what will be is the question of a victim. What are we going to do is a proactive question. When you are at war, the last thing you want to hear is your commander-in-chief questioning, what are we going to do? You want to hear that we have a plan, a direction, a strategy, and we are forging ahead. This reminds us that a victim's question is, what's going to be? It's a question that comes from disempowerment and resignation. A liberated person's question is, what am I going to do? You see, people who live their lives beginning within are not busy telling everyone else what they should do. You cannot control what other people do. They ask, what am I going to do, with an emphasis on I. If you're wondering about our obligation to influence others and motivate others to do things correctly, we will deal with that in the last module of this course, which will be very powerful, but we need to first solidify ourselves and beginning within if we want to be able to have influence on others.